Welcome. Thank you for being on time. Let me pray for us. Father, thanks for gathering us. And thanks for all the weaving you've done to through our day and through this week to get us here. And we trust that you'll weave this part of this next hour into what you're doing in our hearts. And I pray that you'll help us to see that you've been weaving the Bible all the way through, and that that will be a consolation for us and help us to have rest in you. And as we study the theme of rest, the rest that you had at the beginning of the world when you created the world in 6 days and on the seventh day had rest. We pray that you'll not only give us that rest, which you promised by your Spirit and your Word, but that as you take us into that rest, we'll find ourselves completely refreshed and have all the energy in the world as we rest with you. So glorify yourself this evening, we ask. Amen. Tonight's a little different. We're going to do a high-speed tour of everything we've done, faster and faster each time. We're not going to do the paper, the cards tonight. So here we go, and then we're going to hit theme three. If you push the button, keep going, keep going. No, next, 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 keep going. So in the beginning, there was the creation. God created the heaven and the earth. But we broke faith with God. We assaulted him and distrusted him. All sin is distrust. Distrust is the root of all sin. I'll say it for the record. I'm not unpacking that yet. Every time you sin, the reason you sin, I know why you sin, it's distrust in the true nature of God. You don't believe that the Father and the Son and the Spirit are completely beautiful and worth selling out your soul and dying for every minute of your life. You don't trust that. You've got second guessing going on, which is the software of the serpent. And so we're fallen. But God promised that he would send somebody who would break the power of the serpent. He covered our sins. We didn't change. We got more and more rotten. So the flood came, wiped out all humanity, left 8 people. Noah came out of that. Population came across the earth again. God chose random Joe from southern Mesopotamia and said, I'm going to make 7 promises to you and spend the whole rest of the Bible making them come true. So he called Abraham, the promise passed to Isaac, the promise passed to Jacob, the promise passed to Joseph, and to the 12 sons. They go into Israel, into Egypt, because of the food issues, but then they end up in slavery under Pharaoh. But God rescues them out of Egypt with his mighty hand, takes them through the desert, takes them into the promised land. They rebel again, and so they go into anarchy, the time of the judges. But God gives them the 3 great kings, Saul, David and Solomon, who rule and complete the kingdom of God on earth in geographical, political terms. Until Solomon turns the whole nation to idolatry, and then the kingdom disintegrates, never recovers. The wisdom literature is written, Psalms, Proverbs, so on, but we love folly much more and we'd rather do something else. And so the people, God sends, as the kingdom disintegrate, God sends the prophets to tell the truth, to cut the people to the heart, to call them back to Yahweh and remind them of who he really is. But they ignore that. They all go into exile in Babylon. Most of them are annihilated. Most of the northern kingdom is annihilated. The 2 tribes left, mostly killed. God brings back the remnant from Babylon and gives them back the land. But it's only a little tiny cameo. It's not the full thing the way it ever was. There's 400 years of silence, a lot of political turmoil. The Romans take over the world. Then Jesus comes, and Jesus is the one that has been promised through all of the prophets, from Moses, back from Abraham, back from Adam. This is the one in the bloodline who would come to be the Saviour of the world. But the Saviour of the world himself is killed and crushed, taken off the cross, wrapped up and buried and done with. However, chains of hell could not hold him, and he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, sent the Holy Spirit that fills the churches to make hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands and millions of little replications of him. And his word and his spirit goes out instead of having the temple in Jerusalem with the fire coming down, the temple comes across people's heads and into their hearts and goes out in every language group in all the world. Now, the serpent keeps attacking the church, and that's the history of the last 2,000 years, as the church has driven all across the nations. And the good news, the gospel, rescues people from every colour and tribe and language. At the end, God will roll up the sky, destroy the earth in fire. There'll be a judgment. Sheep and the goats are separated. And then, let there be light in some new way. The new heaven will come to earth. There'll be no more temple at the end because God himself will be there. There'll be no more sun because God himself will be the light. And we will reign as kings and priests with him forever and ever. Okay, that's the top line of the seven streams of grace. That was the 24 panels of Bible history. We're trying to learn chronology over every week, because if you don't think in the big story from the baby bottle to the chalice, then you're always going to turn the Bible into a how to live book, which will always make it boring. It is a how to live book. It is a moral book, but there's a whole lot more to it. If you read that stuff and that's all you get, sadness. So, it's a high drama. I was just talking with Roy just before. He's reading Numbers and I'm reading Deuteronomy. And we're talking about reading it differently than in the past. It's high drama. It's very exciting because there's this supernatural battle going on, and these people are complete idiots and they remind me of me. And so the whole focus is on the drama of what God is doing with the cretinous Israelites and the cretinous Olsons and the cretinous all of us. So there's this timeline. Then we said, let's follow some themes through the Bible. And there are seven themes we're following through. The first one was life. We peeled that off last week. So you've got to click and keep going. See, we followed the top line and then we went, keep going. You watch the arrow here. There are the themes up the left. And then keep going. There's the arrow going across. We did the theme of life last time. I'm going to do that really fast. Here we go. We started off with in the time of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. There's one of the stories of life where God rescued Isaac from death and replaced him with a ram. In the next one, we saw the story of God rescued the firstborn of the Israelites by replacing them with the blood of the lamb, and they were rescued. In the story of the threshing floor of Aruna, God rescued the Israelites by the replacement of all of the people of Jerusalem being replaced by these bulls that are sacrificed to save them from the punishment that's due. In the wisdom literature, the Psalms, we looked at a couple of Psalms that talk about the rescuing that God does in snatching people from the coils of death and from the grave and bringing them into safe harbour. Then we saw the prophets, where we have these crazy pictures of things that are already dead being brought back to life, and a day coming on a special mountain where death itself will be swallowed up forever. And we remember that the mountain of that mountain, that prophetic mountain where this would happen, was also Mount Zion. The mountain in Jerusalem was also the place where the Aruna's threshing floor, it was also the place where the temple was, it's also the place where Mount Moriah, it's called Mount Moriah, where Abraham was sacrificing Isaac. So it's this place on earth that all things will come true. We then looked at the story of Esther and how the bloodline was doomed for death on a certain day, and how God turned the tables and rescued the people into life again. And then we talked about Jesus and stories where he is the resurrection and life, and he can reach dead people out of the grave and bring them back to life simply by his word, because he is life. We talked about the life of God being planted in us by the Holy Spirit, that we were dead and our tombs have been opened, and that we have life poured into us. And then we finished with, at the end of the story, we will be rise from the grave, the trumpet will sound, death itself will be thrown into the lake of fire, and everybody whose name is written in the book of life will have life forever. We'll eat the tree of life, we'll drink from the river of life, and we'll have no end of it. The tree that we forfeited in the beginning will come back true for us. Tonight we're going to follow the next line down, which is also something that was in the garden and was forfeit. And we'll see what God's going to do, because we can't. So tonight's theme is the theme of rest. We're going to follow the theme of rest. Now, rest in the Bible is a big theme. It shows up in all kinds of stories. We're only going to pick a few out. And it's particularly rich as a notion in the ancient world, in the Hebrew world, We think of rest as, oh, finally I'll get my head on the pillow. The words in Hebrew and the theology around the word rest is much more, it's like completion. Everything has become whole. The word shalom, Jerusalem, is based from that word. Wholeness and fullness and completion. We're finally truly home. We're finally truly alive. It's a much bigger, more glorious idea than simply having a break from work. And so here we go. We're going to track it through. And in the garden, we had rest because God took 6 days to create the world. And in the seventh, he said God rested on the seventh day because he'd finished from all his work. And so we actually lived inside of the rest of God at the beginning of the story. We forfeit that. We said, no, we don't want rest. And so if you're a betrayer and a traitor, you scurry off like a cockroach and you're never at rest because you're not the kind of person who could ever rest. You're always on guard. You're always on lookout because you're always out of light. You're out of the favour of God and we've rejected what he was. So the only hope we have is if he does something to us that makes us be able to receive rest again. So we fast forward. We're going to pick one of the stories, two of the stories out of... No, wait. I'm ahead of myself. Tonight, I'm going to... Okay, please, if you have ever run a Bible study or preached or taught the Bible in any context, can you please stand up? So there should be about 20 or 30 people stand up, I think. If you've ever taught the Bible, stand up. In any context. Youth group, you've taught a ladies group, you've taught a Sunday school, anything at all. Okay. I'm going to give you a number. Can you please remember the number? It's going to go real fast. You ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You sat down. You can do this. Now, here's your job. Here's a group. This group is group number...
One.
One. They've got a bunch of pieces of paper here, just like all of you, but everybody's got different paper. Your job... Ooh, look at this. It's got a picture on the corner, which matches that one, which happens to be in the theme of rest. How about that? What's the picture about? Well, I don't know. So you hand this around your group and say, what's the picture about? And you go, I don't know. And as you go around, what you'll find is there's a Bible verse or a couple of Bible verses there that you look up. There's a whole heap, there's 20 Bibles here, so you'll need a couple of Bibles in your group. You look up the Bible verse. Some of you have got three or four different Bible passages or verses, so you'll have to actually use your brain twice. And then there's a description. Wait a sec. Don't come yet. There's a description of what the picture's about and what the Bible verses are about. Now, in 10 minutes, I'm going to ask your group, hey guys, what's this lamb there? And you'll say, oh, well, the lamb is this. And I'll say, what's your Bible verse? And you can read out, see if you can find a piece of the text that you can read out to us. And so this group is going to explain their picture. And I'm going to help them. And then the next group will do it. And we'll go round and round and round. Ready, set. If you're confused, come and talk to me. If you need help, put your hands up. Otherwise, go.
Okay.
You're looking especially for the word rest and peace. You worked out who's got which piece? Hands up if you've worked that out already. Hands up. No. We forfeited rest in the garden. God's going to do some miracles. He's going to restore rest and he's going to start with one person. Now it came to pass in the time of the patriarchs that Abraham and Lot had a problem. Tell us about your picture and what's in it.
The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I'll show you. The Lord said to Abram, after the blind part from him, lift up your eyes from where you are, and look north and south, east and west. I'll give it to you and your offspring forever.
So we have a picture up here of a man standing on the top of a mountain, and that's Abraham. Tell us some more. Come forward.
He does what he said. He looks all over the place and sees all the potential that's being granted to him. It says, fully success, Mary, not to have looking far.
And so, what does this mean? And so
we think that has to do with rest, because it was a lot of land, and we were thinking, if your father showed you, you know, half a cake coral and said, this is all going to be yours, you might sleep pretty well that night thinking that you were rich. But even more than the material wealth, we would think that to have that kind of a promise actually visibly shown to you by God would be pretty awesome.
Wow. And how long is he going to have this land?
Forever.
This is always going to be your land. And group it. Now, you guys go that way. That's good, eh? Come. This is terrifying, everybody, so I'll make it more terrifying. Okay. But there's another part of this drawing. Tell us more.
Whoa!
That was a nice trip.
Hey.
See
you next. What's the other part of the picture? They're both good.
Abraham answered Abraham, "Listen to me, my lord. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. But what is that between me and you? Bury your dead." Abraham agreed to Ephron's terms and laid out for him the price he had paid in hearing of the
Hittites.
400 shekels of silver according to the weight current among the merchants. So Ephron's field in the near Mamre both the field and the cave in it, and all the trees within the borders of the field, is due to Abraham and his property in the presence of all the Hittites who had come to the gate of the city. Afterward, Abraham buried his wife Sarah in the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre, which is at Hebron and the land of Canaan.
Okay, and someone else. So what? That's a ridiculous story about buying land in Hebron. So what? What's going on there?
Well, Sarah had died in a land that wasn't their land of Earth, and so that's why Abraham had to go and purchase this cave, because so her bones could rest.
Ah.
So it's not their homeland, it's a new land.
And further comment? Being buried not with his ancestors. What's that about?
Yeah. Good answer to that question. Well, it was important that you were buried with your family. Now, in buying the land instead of originally what they offered giving it to him, this was his new land, which was the completion of rest.
Well done, thank you. So we have in the story of... That's great, can you get that way? So in the story of the patriarchs, these stories of rest, in Genesis 23 there, it's a Middle Eastern bargaining story, and you start by offering double or more the price, and then you haggle down, and Ephron says, it's only 400 shekels, but what's that between friends? So Abraham has to go 100, and he says, no, I'll buy it. Because Yahweh promised me, and you will never tell me that I ripped you off. And he buys it at a ridiculous price. Now we wind forward and we come. Now it came to pass in the time of the Exodus that the rest of the theme of rest came true in the following ways.
Exodus and conquest. God provided land, giving people rest.
And?
streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. A land where bread will not be scarce and people lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you.
Well, I'm in real estate, they got a really good deal.
Why did they get such a good deal? How is this such a good deal?
Was it a short sale?
It was a short sale. What was so good about getting this piece of land? Like that's...
Well, they had a lot of good value. It gave them a permanent place to be, where they could have a permanent family line to this day, to stay in Israel. And Yahweh delivers the entire people of Israel from land, spacious and fertile, abundant of fruit, vines, rich as minerals, so they had everything they need to provide for their people, which they didn't have before.
Yeah, and?
And in giving them milk and honey, they could only have that because that meant there were a lot of plants to have honey. The bees had to find flowers, so there's a lot of fruit and milk. Doesn't happen unless the animals are well fed. So that is how God provided rest for the people of Israel in the time of the Exodus and conquest.
Way, brilliant, yay, good. You go that way, you go that way. Next crew come in. So we see that God gave them the land. There are 10 chapters in Joshua just about land boundaries. Now, is that boring or what? No, it's not boring if you think about the baby bottle and the chalice, because God's taken hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years to make his promise to come true, that he'll give them a permanent land, and they describe it in full detail, and it's super fertile back in those days. Now time goes on, and a couple hundred years later, it came to pass in the time of the kings that Yahweh gave rest not just to one family or one man or a family or a people, but to the whole nation. In the following ways. Whoa. What group number are you guys?
Nine.
Nah, there's something wrong.
We're actually
R17. You're R17. So you need to exit left really delicately for a little while. R7. Where's R7, guys? Is that you guys? You're R7. Who's got R9?
We're 9.
You're 9? There's
not a man.
What are you? R17. Oh. You guys over here. Here we go. Technical glitch here. Yep. Here we go. R9. So in the time of the kings, the theme of rest... It's the verse before that.
Germans and Greeks, like I'm Judah and Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, live safely, each man in their own land and country. Then 5 4 years. But now the Lord, my God, has given me rest on every side. And there's one verse before that.
And? Tell us what that means. What was that about? What did that say? Tell me what the picture's about, yeah.
Picture is just showing all the abundance that the Lord God had given Solomon in his rest. That he had plenty to eat, he had plenty to drink, and there wasn't anybody around to ask him. And he had rest from every side.
And was it only Solomon that had rest from every side?
Well, it was the whole house of Israel.
Yeah.
Nathaniel says, how do you know me? Nathaniel asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. And so we don't talk about the significance of a fig tree.
Fig tree was a good place to rest under and pray. Sorry about my voice. Also, to have one's own property with vines and fig trees, it's a sign of security, secure food and drink, supply for the future.
Amen. And so the insane wealth and international security that was given under the kings meant that every single man lived under their own vine and fig tree. And that is how the theme of rest came true in the time of the kings. Well done. And then, while the kings were in Israel, a great deal of the Psalms, the Proverbs and the wisdom literature were written. And if you have the 9...